This is a CC Radio podcast.
Welcome to the Countdown Podcast. This is our review of Shang-Chi and the What Legend of the Ten Rings. My name is Wayne.
Is it Shang-Chi, is it?
Well, okay. Let's get Asian for a while.
Now, welcome. My name is Paul.
Oh, hi, Paul.
Normally, I start to jump straight into it, but Wayne is Asian, so...
Yes, although according to some people, not enough to make the jokes I make.
Right.
But anyway, yes, it's Shang.
Right.
Chi.
Shang-Chi. Okay.
Yeah, but totally Shang-Chi is fine.
And I'm going to keep saying Shang-Chi because his name's Sean in the film as well.
That's right.
Anyway, this one is directed by, it's the 25th, I should say, Marvel Cinematic Universe film. It's directed by Destin Daniel Cretton, co-written by he, along with Dave Callahan and Andrew Lanham. It's based on Marvel Comics. Of course, it stars Simu Liu.
Oh, wicked. I forgot about this.
Awkwafina. Mega Zhang.
Actually, this is a bit easier than I thought it would be.
Fala Chen, Florian Mutnow, Benedict Wong, Michelle Yeoh. That's probably enough without getting into spoilers, I would imagine.
Coolio.
It's 132 minutes long. The budget was approximately $150 million, and it's raking it in even in these, again, COVID-affected times. According to the box office, so far this weekend, it's made $53 million. I wonder how much of that comes out of China.
Dude, there's no release date in China.
Oh, that right?
Yeah, there's some fucking buzz about this shit. I think it's the issue that in the comics, Shang-Chi too, his dad is Fu Manchu, which is a really problematic, stereotypical Asian character that was invented back in the 70s or whatever by Marvel.
Right.
And it's actually quite offensive to the Asian folks.
Oh.
And I think that is the reason there's not, this one hasn't, is actually not being released.
So it's based 53 million straight in North America then, I would say, off
yes,
that money.
And Marvel typically 10 to 20% of their income is from China.
Okay. Well, let's see how it all shakes out. Wayne, what is this one about?
Okay, it follows the journey of Shang-Chi, the son of famed MCU villain the Mandarin, who has 10 magical-ass bracelets or rings which can one pass on anyone, including whole armies and shit, and he trains his son to kill everyone. Shang-Chi then runs away from home to the US where he lives a normal life for a while until he's drawn back into that world because of family and other shit.
Family. Family. Once again, the summer of family.
Exactly.
Slash spring of family continues.
Although, really, I mean, ever since the advent of Steven Spielberg, everything's family.
Right.
You know?
Well, that is indeed the basic plot line, being very, very vague to avoid spoilers, and you won't hear anything along those lines until we give the clear demarcation with the Jack sound drop later in the episode. Wayne?
Can't wait for that.
What'd you think of Shang-Chi?
Yeah, this is good, man. This is real good. I think it's real good. Like, it's
real good?
Yeah, I think it's real good.
How real good?
How real good? I want to say I didn't know what to expect because look, this is... I'll try and keep my Asian heritage out of it, but you don't really see people like me up on film as much unless it's a kung fu film.
Arguably the best part about this movie.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah.
Finally, this cinematic universe is big enough after 25 films to allow for representation.
Yeah, yeah. Don't get me wrong. Hong Kong cinema has always been around, but like, this is a Marvel film and they're doing, you know, karate and shit, kung fu, whatever. So I was expecting quite a few things because I'm like, ooh, so that means whoever, because this is Marvel, right? So they can hire whoever to do the best version of this shit. And in this movie, as you can see in the trailers, they're actually doing like wirework type stuff.
Is it Wuxia?
Wuxia, yeah. Wuxia.
Wuxia, sorry. Thing.
And they're like, even different styles of kung fu and shit, like, oh, it's just all kinds of martial arts. But it looks cool and not everyone is flying through the air. That's just some of the mystical elements of it. And it looks beautiful, man. And you know these like mystical-ass creatures and shit like that, right, that you see in the trailers? They look cool, too. And I was like, man, I am down for all this shit. So I was like walking in going, I don't know what to expect, but I at least got wicked fights. I totally got wicked fights.
I'll agree with you to some way. I think the first act of this movie, the first 40-ish minutes,
yeah,
really good.
Dude, that I've never heard of this director before. So,
no, he directed Just Mercy with...
That's a drama, yo.
Michael B. Jordan,
right?
Recently. And is it Short Term 12? Which is one I haven't seen, but looks interesting. Brie Larson and Lakeith Stanfield and Rami Malek.
So not an action director, typically.
Absolutely not.
And so
and this is what Marvel do, right? They get a...
Patty Jenkins, like people like
yeah,
that.
Sort of
drama
not,
directors.
Not no names, but directors got a very small sort of back catalogue who aren't huge, heavy players and then say, would you like a chance to make your name?
Okay, that's one thing, and I get that. First of all, I'm crazy impressed, because if you go to someone who might have been very well acclaimed for drama, right? And then you say, hey, yo, I don't know how it works, whether that guy goes, hey, I've got a Marvel film in me. I doubt it, right? I bet you it's like, I think of these people, the agent goes to these directors and say, have you got a take on Shang-Chi, right? And then what? Does that guy get a pitch and say, okay, well, here's the way I want to do it, and here's some pre-roll, and here's some fucking blocking, or whatever, right? How do you do that if you're an action? If you're not an action director,
the cynical person would suggest it's Marvel's way of controlling the end product, right?
Perhaps you're right.
Kevin Feige and co can just go, nah, mate, do it this way. Okay. Whereas if you did get a Ridley
Which
Scott,
seems to work to say,
yeah, sure, obviously,
that's a good point. Yeah, a
if you
name
get a Ridley
director.
Scott or you know somehow Christopher Nolan or something like that, it's like, I'm gonna listen to you.
It's going my
way. Yeah, if I'm doing this film, we're doing it my
really
way.
Good call. You know what I reckon happens then? They'll take this drama director and say, I've got a second unit director who is the shit, who's their own guy who no one really knows, right? He's going to handle all the fight scenes. Boom. You bring the heart, we bring the fart. You know what I mean? So that's how it's going to be.
Maybe.
So I reckon anyway. But like, but sorry, to wrap it like up, I loved that Simu Liu guy, right?
Did you?
Yeah, here's the thing. Well, okay, I didn't think I would. I'll be straight up with you. I'm like, this guy doesn't look heroic enough to me.
I think he looks fine, bro. He's certainly got the physique. He seems to have the martial arts skills. I'm no martial artist, but he looks good on screen.
He did a handspring from the floor. He must be good. But more importantly, he's charming, though. I find him quite charming.
Did you not?
I'm interested in that because to me, it's hard to be powerful and charming at the same time.
I didn't think his comic timing was very good. I think most of the jokes he had a lot to do.
It's all Awkwafina.
Yeah, most of the jokes in movie 4 really flat for me.
That's so.
Yeah.
I was. Now, let me ask you this. Were you in a packed cinema?
No.
Ah.
It was busy, but not packed.
Once again, people, I saw it was an advanced screening, but one I had to pay for. So that was full of people. And even like the person I'm
with. And generally speaking, people then who are really fully into
MCU. Absolutely. So I got very wild laughs where perhaps you would have gotten a titter or a chuckle or nothing.
Yeah, if that. You know? It was really quiet, my screening. I went and saw it with my 8-year-old, took her to see it. We went and saw it in Titan XC at the Reading Cinema. And
me too. But
big screen, louder sound. Yeah. My wife was smart enough to give my daughter headphones to put over her ears to just to dampen the sound a little bit because it's a little
bit is very loud.
Yeah, particularly the trials at the start. And actually, this is kind of funny. There was a trailer for Venom.
Yeah.
Let There Be Carnage beforehand.
Yep.
Scared the shit out of my daughter, who just closed her eyes and was
fair enough.
Is it over yet? That was just too much for her.
Too much for me, Paul.
Totally understand. And she was like, but the red one was bigger than the black one. So she obviously had her eyes open a little bit.
Yeah.
And I was like, the black one's a good guy. She goes, what?
This makes no sense.
Which is a really funny moment for me internally. I'm like, that's a really good point because this is obviously Venom is a villain. But anyway.
Exactly. All the ninjas are black. They're bad. Anyway.
The sound wasn't so bad doing Shang-Chi though. It had sort of dampened it a little bit. It was a little bit more easy for her.
It's always like that. The trailers, it's like, yeah, commercials on TV. Anyway.
She liked it. So she did like say that she quite enjoyed the mystical elements and whatever else, which again, we'll save the majority of for spoilers.
Sure.
And I thought she might get bored. It's 2 hours, 12 minutes, this film. It's pretty long.
Now, I noticed.
In fact, it's very long.
It is very long, and I noticed it was long. And I was like, how do I feel about it being long? And I wasn't having a problem. I was more concerned that, like, the people I brought might be bored, and I hate that, right? So I'm like, no, I actually quite like this, and they seem to dig it too. So I'm like, okay, well, this is not so bad. I actually like the fact that it's kept my attention all the way through. I will tell you the third act or so on is a very not the same kind of movie,
correct.
I would say.
And I want to come back to what I said originally.
Okay.
And I also want to come back to on the back of what I forgot to do, which is the Rotten Tomatoes score, which at the moment has 92% approval rating.
Yeah, but it's always like that.
7.1 out of 10 is the average score. 7.5 out of 10 on Rotten Tomatoes and 7.1 on Metacritic. So
huge.
Pretty good, pretty solid numbers and probably what you'd expect from a Marvel film. Again, the first act, great. The first fight scene with
the Wenwu, yeah,
and his wife to be.
Oh, that was cool the shit.
It was so Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Crouching Tiger, right?
And I thought it did it really, really well.
Beautiful.
Tick, tick. Well done. That's our background here. We find out she's the one that's narrating the story.
Mm-hmm.
This is all in the first literally 7 or 8 minutes of the film, ladies and gentlemen. So nothing too big a spoiler.
Yeah.
And then we snap, crash, bang. What do you call it? Snap it, crash it. I'll get at the end in a moment.
Jump cut.
Yeah, whatever. Splash cut.
Smash cut.
There we are.
Yeah.
Best movie podcast ever. 25 years later, and now Shang-Chi's grown up and he's living his life and he's got his best mate, Awkwafina, playing Katie and whatever else, blah, blah, blah. And then we have this awesome fight scene on the bus.
Brilliant. Yes. It was in the trailer, but yes.
Yep, really, then there's another awesome fight scene 20 minutes later. I'm like, this is fucking awesome. And then.
Oh, no. What's going on now? You don't like this! Well, I can't wait for this. Mostly so that fucking shitty sound can end. But please, go
the second
on,
act,
Negatron.
It's like it drives straight into a fucking brick wall. It completely grinds to a halt.
Really?
It's just Exposition City scene after scene after scene. I'm like, oh my God, this is so long and boring. Get on with it. There's a couple little cameos that they try and spice things up with. Hold that for spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final scene, for me, the final act falls completely into Wonder Woman territory. It's an overly CGI, completely over the top, shaky camera, can't see what the fuck's going on, schlockfest.
Really?
Which has nothing in common with the first third of the film, as far as I'm concerned. This film completely dropped the ball for me. I was really disappointed by the end. This is low-level, bottom five Marvel films for me.
Whoa! Really? Because I thought this was an exciting phase four development. Everything's new from here. This is interesting. So,
I'll go further.
Go, please.
And before we get to spoilers.
Bring it.
For me, I'm not sure whether it's anymore. It's the Mehville Cinematic Universe or the Marvel Cinematic Mehverse.
How long have you been working on that, motherfucker?
I wrote it while you were fucking around with your description of the film. Yeah, phase four so far. This is lame.
Wow.
Oh, this Falcon and the Winter Soldier was garbage.
Yeah, I don't know if you can count the TV shows, right? Can you? WandaVision,
I enjoyed a lot more. Loki was the best thing by far. Black Widow was okay. Black Widow was better than this. So suddenly I'm like, wow.
Did I like this more than Black Widow? I think I did, but not by much.
Yeah, fair enough. I wouldn't. I understand if you like this one better than anyone likes it better. But for me, I liked Black Widow a bit more. This one was a real disappointment. And especially because I got my hopes so up. Like, I'm like, wow, this is cool. Great stuff. First act. Yes, let's nail it. Oh.
Well, without spoiling anything, there's not a tonal shift or anything in the third act, but it is a very different type of thing. It's less fighty. It's more spectacular. See, in the first half, it's like, ooh, look at that move. Ooh, look at that fast shot. Look at that cutting.
The third act fight sequences were shot by someone completely different.
I kind of agree. I will tell you this. I did miss the sort of like localized martial arts of the first part of the movie in the last part.
That's what I'm talking about.
But having said that, though, I will say that it was spectacular. It was interesting. You don't like the CGI. You didn't like the shaky cam. I didn't notice that so much. What I did notice was that it's like, I'm going to blow you away with spectacle and hope you forgive me for this, right?
Well, clearly, I didn't.
You know, yeah, and I think, like, for me, I'm like, yeah, but it's supposed to end this big, so I'm fine with that. You know what I mean? I didn't miss it so much. I was in still. I wanted it all to happen.
One last major criticism.
Yeah?
Awkwafina.
Ah, here we go. Keep going.
In the first act, she's the audience eyes, right?
Yep.
So she's learning about Sean and his world.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's fine for her to be there. She's our in. She's the surrogate for us.
Sure.
There is zero need for her in the second two-thirds of this movie because Sean and another character, I won't mention again for spoilers, are our eyes. So Awkwafina lives up to her name and sits awkwardly off the side of scenes making shit-ass jokes, which aren't funny.
Okay.
And just is shoehorned into bits and pieces. And I'm just like, what the fuck are we doing here?
Okay.
There's no way this character would have lasted in any film like this. They would have been sent to prison or just murdered outright.
Well,
then I would have given this film a higher score.
I don't think she actually is the audience's eyes, although she does serve that purpose in the first act, shall we say. She's there purely as comedy relief.
Doesn't work.
Which I know you think does not work. Now, this is something I have noticed in lots of scripts, especially these Marvel scripts, right? There's one very clean, this is the comic relief, okay? This is the fucking TJ Miller. This is it's like, ugh. Like everything is, although Deadpool's a bit different because it's always funny, right? But because the rest of the film is just busy on exposition, making you forward, pushing the movie forward and so on, we need to make a jab every, 2 minutes, right? And this person is the jab girl, right? That sentence came out wrong. but that's what she's there for. I suspect in a PG, it's hard to be truly funny every single time, gut busty. I didn't mind her as such. I will tell you that, this is for spoilers. I'll go to spoilers on that one.
Well, we obviously very much disagree.
Can you tell me that? Do you like Tony Leung, right?
Yes. Oh, that's actually great point. How much better an actor? How much more charismatic? How much more do you want to see that movie?
So Wenwu, the Tony Leung guy,
yep.
He's the heart of the movie. Let's face it, there's no real love interest, right? We'll talk about this. But all of the heart and all of the love, this, that, is the dad and the mom, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of negates the need for a female lead that's a romantic lead for him, right? Yep. So that's where all the meaning comes from. The rest of it is just like Shang-Chi learning and fighting, and then maybe there's like it circles back towards the end. But the dad is the thing, man. He's the shit. And
he's also a very good actor.
Man, have you seen The Lover?
I've seen In the Mood for Love.
In the Mood for Love. Is Tony Leung in The Love? I'm sure he's in The Love.
I haven't seen that one.
The Jane March one? Is that In the Mood for Love or is that The Love? I'm pretty sure
The Mood for Love is a Hong Kong film.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Okay, so The Lover is Jane March fucking Tony Leung. And there's a scene.
For some strange reason, you're into Jane March.
I know, you dislike her, but she was considered a nymph back in the day. Anyway, there's a scene in that movie where you'll love this, Paul. She takes a handkerchief and puts it in a knot and stuffs it up his ass. And then as he's about to like climax, she pulls it out! Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but if you're filming that scene, you better be a good actor.
Oh my God.
But yes, he's a very respected Asian cinema actor.
Yeah, so, I'm just going to hit the spoiler button so we can talk about the rest of this movie before I lose my lunch.
You can't handle the truth.
All right, now it's open slather. Wayne can no longer be censored by me 97 times in the first half of this episode.
I've actually dropped about 2,000 spoilers. So what I didn't think was spoilers. Paul's like, can't say that. So we've had a few goes at this, everyone. But yes, sorry. Okay, one real problem I had.
Go.
Is that towards the end, there's a hint that fucking Shang-Chi and Awkwafina, or whatever her name is.
Katie.
Are actually maybe getting to be slightly romantic. It's never consolidated. It's never put together. No?
No. Yeah. It's never consolidated. I agree.
I wish they hadn't gone that way. She is perfectly served as the platonic friend who's funny-ish.
She'd be perfectly served had she been written out of the script after the first act.
No, there'd be no humor otherwise, man. You need someone to be like...
Well, as far as I'm concerned, there was no humor in this movie, except from Ben Kingsley. He was funny.
Oh, God!
Trevor.
All right, let's talk about Ben Kingsley. When D turns up, right, I get a yell from the audience. The entire audience lets out, right? And so it's like, oh my God. So it helps me. So I think what happened here, Paul, is if you were in my screening, it would have helped you. It would have helped you like to the tune of 20%.
Maybe.
I reckon, right? So there's that going on. But geez, that was good. And then he was also like comic relief after that. So you're right. She was kind of edged out. But then again, we had Ben Kingsley.
And we had, who's going to measure up against Ben Kingsley? And then we had the, I don't know what it is, the puffball thing with the wings and whatever else.
That's a dragon motherfucker. Oh, which one?
No, the little thing, can't remember what the name was.
Oh, the little dog thing? Oh, yeah, I don't know what that was.
Which is running around.
That was kind of cute.
Yeah, it was cute.
But something with no face, you know?
Exactly.
But when they went back to, like, Bumfuck, whatever the place is called, right?
Yeah, the village.
The village, right?
Mystical village.
And you see all the, like, the nine-tailed foxes and the fucking horse-looking dragon thing, whatever it is, right? All that shit. That was cool. I was happy with that. I actually thought it was quite cute. And then when we finally go see the dragon-ass dragony dragon dude from the fucking lake, did that not look good to you?
Nah, it was fine.
Really?
That's fine. Like I said, I was more concerned when the creatures all come out, these demon, whatever they are, creatures, and then the stealer of souls, whatever the fuck they call it, devourer of souls, comes out and starts fighting, like, the dweller. That's it. Like, it just became this absolute, very much to my mind, like Wonder Woman. It's just this CGI fest, and, like, there's no more is there anything fighting or anything cool, like you said before, none of this localized kind of showing moves.
Yeah.
I thought we would get that during the battle.
Big sweeping ass.
So when the build-up to the big battle happens between, you know, Wenwu's ninja army and that cool dude who took everybody down and he just got his soul ripped out of him like that. He was gone.
I'm glad that he got fucked up because like I was waiting for that. I'm like, someone needs to fuck him up, otherwise he's gonna come up.
I thought one of the main characters would either, you know, Shang-Chi or his sister. So the sister is the character we've been talking around for no spoilers as well.
Yeah.
I mentioned BD Wong's in it, so he's back and is the link to the wider cinematic universe, along with obviously Trevor, so Ben Kingsley.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is, in the end credits, there are two end credit sequences.
I had to leave before the last one, so you'll have to clue me in on that. I saw the first one where it was Captain Marvel and
Hulk. That's the more important one.
Yeah.
The second one is the sister is no, you know, there's a mention that she's back decommissioning the base of the father and whatever else. Nah, she's just taken over.
Oh, so she's the
got the guy with that sword arm. Yeah, so she's going to be the new Mandarin. Sword arm dude is her offsider.
Okay, here's the thing about the sister character, Paul. Meh. I don't really think she sold that well. I don't necessarily buy her as a powerful being, even though she can kick ass like and stuff like that.
She's got that cool weapon. Don't know what it's called, but really liked it.
Oh yeah, it's like the Quentin. It's like the it's the
big blade on the end of a rope.
Yeah, that thing. So that's kind of cool. I don't if there's like a here's a whole series TV show about her and the Ten Rings. I'm like, yeah, look, I'll just check in later. I'm not into that. So you know,
that's fine, but. I guess that's setting up something for future iterations and whatever else. But look, what There are certain things about this film that really bothered me. And I thought if we had had a great battle at the end, the last 20 minutes was an awesome battle and it was lots of the back to the martial arts, I probably would have liked this movie a lot more than I did.
The thing is that the last scene, that thing you're talking about, it's a battle other than a series of fights or a chase scene. But so it's going to be those, like that.
But
you could have seen things
great here. Great moments, you know, great. Whoa, yeah. Didn't see any of that.
It's because the dragon was flying around at the end and it became this much bigger thing. Yes. And I think the thing that I liked about it though is that when Tony Leung and whatever is trying to get into the gate or whatever and all that sort of shit, then finally the dragon something grabs him or some shit, and he finally gives the rings to Shang-Chi.
Well,
right?
The dweller grabs him, yep.
The dweller, that's right, yeah. And he does that, and it's like, okay, well, here's the idea. And I think the point there is that, like, oh, okay, I see that my wife lives on in my son kind of thing, and here's the rings, you can just take them. Because he could have just beat him himself.
I mean, you have to accept that obviously he's been ensorcelled. There's a spell cast on him. So, you know, his behavior at the end there where he's still bashing against this thing and the creatures are flying out. I reckon at that point you go, well, I might have been had.
You won't stop, mate. Yeah.
So we have to accept that. That's fine. That's not a failing of the film.
Yeah.
What is a failing of the film is the fact that apparently Shang-Chi, for being the son of Wen Wu, the holder of the Ten Rings for 1,000 years, can breathe underwater forever.
Oh, with the dragon?
Well, he gets knocked into the, you know, his dad punches him and he disappears into the ocean.
Hmm.
Literally 3 minutes later, it comes back to him floating, and then the reveal of the dragon happens, and there's another 2 minutes of that. So now you can breathe underwater.
Did he not?
This was worse than Alien fucking Resurrection scene.
Oh, that's funny. No.
By a long way.
But did he not encounter some mystical shit down there when he met the dragon? Perhaps the dragon was empowering him to stay down there?
No, he doesn't even look perturbed by the fact that I'm drowning. He's woken up, he's like,
yeah, but
dragon.
This is like fucking Fast and the Furious where Dom went down to the fucking that last movie.
It is.
It's like that.
And we shat on it for that too.
I didn't bump into that so much, but I, like, because the scene was supposed to be, it could have been all in his head. I don't know.
It wasn't all in his head. We saw the fucking dragon later on.
Yeah, okay. All right. It was to be perceived slower for us. For, I don't know. All right.
If you have a lot of people around you in a cinema audience, you can
forgive things like
not breathing underwater much quicker.
There is no doubt that my environment definitely had an effect on me here. So I like the fact that the passing of it, and all of a sudden he becomes gangster. And in the
although these rings power, they can do whatever the fuck you want them to do in that moment.
Yeah, because sometimes they can deflect arrows, sometimes they can sweep armies like
sometimes
a motherfucker.
Sometimes you can jump fucking 20 million miles in them.
Oh yeah, that boom.
Yep.
You know what? That's I will agree with you on this. Him riding the dragon and then she riding the dragon at the end, and they just happen to be hanging on despite the dragon and all that. That was a bit tough because it's like, no, hang on, Shang-Chi. You can jump onto the dragon. Doesn't mean you're that good at hanging onto it, mate. Like,
oh, the rings can make you do that too.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. And I think that's the MacGuffin.
His children will also be able to breathe underwater.
Do you think then, given that end credit scene, that the rings are the MacGuffin for the next thing? It's the Infinity Stones of Phase 4?
Maybe. I did like that moment. Like, it's calling to something. What's it calling to? Ooh, okay.
Yeah. So they've made it a bit interesting. And I think in the comics, he actually found them in a meteorite. That's actually confirmed that. But I'm not sure about here. So, yeah, no. I do actually think that this is...
Well, you liked it. Okay, I think obviously the world agrees with you. I'm going to be the one people are like, oh, Paul being Paul. Does he like anything? What a cunt. You know?
That's exactly what they say.
Yeah. So but I have to be honest. We pledged on this show that we would be honest in our reviews. We didn't get to go and see an advanced screening. We're not like Marvel Shields or anything like that. I just don't think this is a very good movie. Yeah. I think it drops the ball in too many places. And it probably would have been, this is ironic, had the start not been so good, I probably would have liked the end product more, had it been more consistent throughout.
Surely not.
But the fact that I got my jollies early.
Yeah.
Now more of that, please. Come on.
Yeah.
And I didn't get it. Especially this week when we're doing the top 10 hand-to-hand fight scenes. And I saw this great fight action sequence. And I'm just like, that's what this movie should have been.
Totally.
Should have been more of that.
The scaffolding scene?
Yes. That's the
that
second
was
big
the
fight
fucking
scene.
Balls, man.
That and the bus scene. I was just like, holy shit, this is great. Mm.
Yeah. The bus scene was cool and everything. I think I just saw a lot of it in the trailer. So I was like,
the scaffolding scene was brilliant.
Scaffolding scene was insane.
And I thought, what normally happens in these big budget movies is we build to the big action sequence, except in this case, we built to a big action sequence that was just CGI fight and the fighting went out the door.
Do you think, though, that if you had seen such wicked martial arts moves for the first two thirds, and then...
I wish it was the other way around.
Where can you go? Like, on the third act, it's like, all right, now let's have... three times the fighting that we just had, like, would that not be like, oh, okay, it would just be repetitive. I thought
we were going to see Shang-Chi up against a whole bunch of the you know, Razor Fist and the Mask Dude.
To take out 200 motherfuckers kind of shit.
Or even just 20 of them.
Yeah.
And he was, because he was going to own his power at that point, because he already had his skills for his dad trained into him, but now he had his mum's mystical skills, the Usha as well, and he was just going to kick everyone's ass with
but
all that shit.
But did he not, like, is the dad story not more important at that stage? Can you really do that? You know what I mean? Like, it's...
I even thought that maybe... maybe we'd end up with dad and him fight alongside, then dad would sacrifice himself to save his son, that kind of stuff.
He didn't quite do that, did they?
No.
Yeah. Actually, that would have been probably good. Anyway.
It is what it is, and you're probably going to enjoy it if you're at all interested in seeing this film.
Yep.
But for me, it is definitely bottom five.
Wow.
MCU films. So here it is, final score. 52. Scrapes across the line
no
for me.
No way. 79 yep. for me.
Whoa!
79.
Holy shit.
Bullshit.
Yeah, fuck it. I can't believe you didn't like this. Did you like Michelle Yeoh? Did you like the airbending?
Whatever, it was fine.
Shit, okay.
Yep, there we are. There you are. Probably gone on long enough for this particular review. There we are. Wayne, big, big proponent. Me, not so much. Let's see what you have to say and how much you agree with Wayne. You can do so via email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter at thecountdownpc. You can like and follow the show through Podbean, where we host. Check out the Facebook List community for a discussion about this film and indeed all other things film and television with a great crew of people. And finally, ccradio.com.au for the other great shows as part of the network, Believe and Comic Confidential, which finally, maybe just after we're recording, will eventually release an episode again.
All good.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us.
Talk to you soon. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. And this has been The Soundboard.
Take it back.
79, for fuck's sake.
Fucking A, bro. That's how we do.
We'll catch you next time.